This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio. And again this morning, I'm joined by Superintendent Charles Oski. Hello, Charles.
Good morning.
How nice to see you again. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much. So today we have a couple of things that we want to talk about, but I was interested in the school calendar, not least because I went to look for one for next year and I couldn't see it on the website. And I wanted to ask you, what is it with the school calendar? There's some things about it just being settled, but then there's also how it is formulated itself and what it provides.
No, that's a great question. So it's actually a great timing, too. So this March board meeting, we are going to approve a two-year calendar from the district. And just to go back a little history, so it's been 19 months now. But anyway, when I first got here, there wasn't a calendar that was established for this year. So we were kind of in scramble mode. Most districts this size will try to develop at least a minimum of a two-year calendar and then turn that into a rolling calendar. So last year we put things together basically January, February, pushed something through late spring for this year, which was just kind of a replica of what had been done in the past, knowing that the district prior to me here had a lot of conversations about calendar, and they landed on a 4.5-day week. So as I talk about this, too, I want to be very clear. KC, I'm not talking about KC, I'm not talking about New West, because they are on alternative calendars. They're on 4-day weeks. So as the district moved forward, as I learned with the history of this, we've had a 4.5-day week. So with that, we did put a survey out last spring and kind of talked about some of the things that they'd like to change. Well, this fall, I asked Dr. Ferris to lead up the calendar committee and to put together a two-year calendar committee. The intention behind that was to have that improved in February, but we kind of had some loops check boxes that needed to be checked, so we had to postpone that, and that will be put forth in March. So we are going to approve not only next year's calendar, but the following year's calendar at this next board meeting. So I'm excited about that. There's a lot of planning, like you said, as families are starting to look for next year. But to be an effective district, we really got to plan out 2 years. What does that look like? Because that includes everything from student contact days to where your assessments are at. That's how far out we have to start planning our professional development. So really to become better at what we're doing and kind of aligning to that goal of even tying back to budget, a balanced budget by 2025, it really has to do with your calendar. So we will approve 2 years' worth of calendars at this March meeting. We've allowed for stakeholders to get input, but with feedback, I think we can do a better job of getting more quality feedback. What is the intention of our calendar? So as we move forward, it would be my expectation that we look at really the calendar should be based around what are the educational needs of our kids. There's always parameters around that. The state has requirements, not to complicate it, but really it's about days. But if you read the fine print, it's really about contact hours. So we got to meet a certain number of contact hours as we move forward, and to include a certain number of professional development days. In addition to that, what's paralleling with this conversation is out of the surveys and due to the history that I've done some research on, there is some interest in a four-day week for Buffalo itself. So Dr. Hansen has willing to take that on from New West, and we have put together a small group of people to start looking at developing a committee and getting input. Is that something that's really beneficial for Buffalo? So there is a 4-day committee, but I want to be very clear. That committee is only looking at the potential. So over the next year, they'll be doing the research. And is it a fit for Buffalo? Is it a fit for, similar to, it's obviously working in KC, it's working in New West, but what are the pros and what are the cons? And if you do move forward with that, that's a whole nother shift in calendar. So I don't want the community to be confused and saying, oh, we're approving a 4-day week at the next board meeting. We are not. We are approving a 2-year extended calendar of a 4.5-day week. However, there is a committee being put together to see that down the road, as we evaluate this, is the 4-day week going to be beneficial to the Buffalo school? So those are running simultaneously. And then in addition to that, calendars always affect master schedules. So this year, I hired a consultant, Mitch Kraft. It's Kraft Consulting. He was a well-respected assistant superintendent for Sheridan II. He's kind of branched out to do some of his work on PLCs and other things. He's helping
professional
us.
Learning communities.
Professional learning, sir, yep. He's helping us right now develop, revamp our teacher evaluation system into a teacher growth model. I'm going to call it state-of-the-art principal growth model evaluation system. So he's been helping with those portions of that. But he also did, I asked him to do an evaluation of our master schedule and put together some presentations of what other high-performing schools around the state have for a schedule. So there's a simultaneous study. That committee is also being put together, and that committee will be looking at some of these schools that came out of that research, and with the intention not for next year but for the following year to start looking at what can we do with our master schedule to best benefit kids. Which aligns, again, to funding. It all comes down to sometimes funding, but what is best for kids. So we have a lot of things going on. Even the professional development piece from the professional learning communities, which we're trying to get an institute here in Buffalo for that piece of it. We have a potential of project-based learning institute going on. There's just so many things that are really happening that really wrap around when we put a calendar together. And you have to schedule some of this professional development 6 to 8 months out. So we need to have a calendar that's 2 years out so we can start locking people into that.
And so just for the benefit of people who may not know, professional learning communities and professional development is geared for teachers.
It is, and it's really good. So that's a district-level focus. One of the folks, that is our focus, is that professional learning communities. And what that is about is collaboration among teachers, truly looking at student data. Are we meeting their needs and not doing what it used to be 20 years ago, that you looked at their grades at the end of the semester and said, oh, we have some holes here. It is constant, intentional, and it happens weekly. And so these teachers getting together, identifying kids, and making sure we're changing it. And those most districts around the state, it can be considered a buzzword. And no offense to Solution Tree or anybody who's done that with professional learning communities, but if you go back to the history and you really look at high performing or schools that have been meeting the needs of kids, they've always had that collaboration. They've always collaborated not only among their areas, but among other areas, and they're doing what's best for kids. This has just been the documentation of what that looks like and how that's implemented. So for a long time, that's been effective. It's now just put in a form, which we reference to professional learning communities, and that's that collaborative piece and effort among teams and among teachers to make sure we're doing what's best for kids. It's alignment of your curriculum. It's assessing kids so you know where they're truly at. And it's hard. It's hard work. It really is. And kudos to our teachers and to our buildings for being a part of that process. But it's now not just an individual building decision. It is a district-level focus. We do want to be a district of professional learning communities within our buildings. And we don't want to be professional. It's called PLC Lite. We don't want to just change the name from a staff meeting to a PLC meeting. No, that's not what we are. We're not going to change the heading of what we're doing. We're actually going to do the work, and that takes some time, and that's a lot of effort on our teachers' part, but we're going to take this journey one step at a time.
Okay, thank you. Just to jump back to the calendar for a moment, Why isn't there a set calendar which is identical for all the districts across Wyoming, so that everybody is collaborating? Everybody knows that their week off is going to be this, that their Friday afternoon is going to be available. We have a lot of kids who go and visit other school districts, whether it's athletics or speech and debate or all the other activities that are on offer. Why not just have one master calendar for the entire state?
That is a great question. And my answer to that is because we are a very independent state.
We like our own autonomy over ourselves.
We like to make our own decisions, and we like to make them based on our own community needs and social norms. So, yeah, I am not going to sit here and bluff anybody. How nice would that to be to have the same breaks as the university, Sheridan colleges, the junior colleges? We were all on the same page. However, leaving that up to individual districts to determine what is best for their community doesn't sometimes align with what other communities feel is important. Number of days off, whether spring break, whether Christmas break, everybody tries to balance around when your state assessment is, so those are windows that are not optional. Some people like to start before fairs, some people like to start after their county fairs. Some people like to go to mid-June. Some people want to be out by 1st of June. So it really is, that is a great question, but there is no state statute that says we will all be on the same page. They leave that up to us as individual school districts. And just like we are here, and it's very common, we have a 4.5-day week in Buffalo, and we have two alternative calendars with a 4-day week in KC and a 4-day week here at New West. So those are parameters that kind of shows you that the rules just kind of allow you what to do. But again, that's why we're also looking at a 4-day week. Okay, what can we do to, is it beneficial for all kids? So
as an administrator and a former teacher, what are the pros and cons of thinking about having anything other than a traditional 5-day-a-week calendar where kids go to school, like parents go to work? What are the things that you think about when you are juggling with all these calendar reviews and committees and so on? What are the things that you're thinking about?
I think one of the things that we have to start looking at, and the way I look at it, is what is really meets the needs of our kids. Not my personal needs, because I like to, and I'm just, I'd like to go snow machining, and this, the prime season is during this, or some communities are all about hunting. Let's take the first week off of hunting season. October 15th is the day, and we should take an entire week, which there are some districts that take 3 or 4 days off on the first day of hunting. But that meets the needs of the community. Our focus should really be on what's the best interest of the kids.
And what does research or data show about how kids succeed to the best of their ability in terms of the way that their day is structured and their class times and their curriculum delivery?
So there's research that some kids do better when they start at 10 o'clock in the morning and go later till night. Research shows that shorter days and more days are lengthy. That's where you get into that conversation of maybe even year-round school.
I heard a wince out there in all-round school, collective groan.
So there's research that shows it's pretty much anything, but if you're intentional in the communities, like a 4-day week, there's a lot of and I'm just living it because I went from a 5-day week to a 4-day week. I had two young kids that went through it, that a 4-day week is too long for elementary kids. My kids were very successful. As a matter of fact, the first part, they were tired. So, you know what, you have curriculum. They took nap times. But if you've seen a kindergartner at the end of a 4-day week, I wasn't worried about the kindergartner at 4 o'clock. I was worried about the teacher. At the end of the day. The exhaustion of keeping up with them. But then teachers had Fridays to work on their stuff so they could take some personal time on Saturday and Sunday. So there's some pros and cons to all that. But the research shows, and to come back to your comment, yeah, the year-round school. I mean, when we talk about that, there are some schools that have because they don't have the buildings, they have two sessions. First group of juniors comes in from 7 till 2, and the last group comes in from 1 till 9. So there's a correlation just because they don't have building space. So it's kind of like mine work. It's shift work as you move through that. So there's different data to show. You can find the data that will support whatever your belief is, but it is a little different. And year-round school, it depends on the environment or the economy, but it's not necessarily year-round school. I think it's a false statement.
Is that what's also described as the 4-semester?
Yeah, so theoretically, a year-round school, traditional year-round schools, are really you do 9 weeks, and then you can take 2 weeks off or 3 weeks off. But there's 1 week that any at-risk kid that is behind and struggling, they remain in school to make sure they get caught up, they get the resources, of what they need, and then there's a short break, so everybody gets a gap, and then you go back at it again. So, and then there's like, instead of, you know, a full summer off, June till mid-August, there's about only a 4 or 5 week summer break in there. So some of those schedules are really designed around the at-risk kids and what your population looks like, but it's not going 365 days of school. It's just kind of breaking it up a little bit differently.
So here in Buffalo, this is the question that you're grappling with now. Here in Buffalo, what are the things that are top of mind that your committee is looking at in terms of being able to deliver the best possible education to the kids in our schools?
So when you look at that, it's instructional time. And so you want to guard that instructional time. So it's not about the number of days. It's how many times are kids absent, how many times are they being in front of the teacher. That's kind of the shift that we're looking at, even with the schedule that Kraft Consulting is doing, and that expectation is says, you know what, I need kids in front of their teacher every day, not every other day. I need to be able to provide support for them on a daily basis, whether that's 50 minutes four times a week and 20 minutes on Friday, so that they're touching base with kids. There's a lot of research about being in front of your teacher and getting the support that you need is where some of that effectiveness comes in.
So I think, you know, a lot of parents, you know, were supportive of the idea of a 4.5 day week, because it meant that if you had a kid involved in an after-school activity that typically took them out of town or took them into an athletic event or something different, another event that was scheduled outside of class time, that they wouldn't be missing the class time, so they wouldn't be additionally trying to make that up, and again, on their own, not in front of a teacher. So what is really up for grabs right now? What is everybody talking about?
The survey came back and said they love the 4.5 a day week. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go back. So is it the fear of they don't want to change again because we just got into the groove of things? But really evaluating what is best for kids or not, I honestly can't look at you and say we've met that goal of limiting the amount of time out of school for our athletic kids, because we're a very busy community. So let's talk about the number of trips during the week, okay? So we're still going to school, but our kids still missing school for athletics or different events. You know, a lot of your state events we don't control, and a great example is even like last week with all the bad weather, you know, but fortunately we had virtual that we could still provide that virtual accountability piece. But the whole goal is, and then the conversation comes around, well, 4.5 day week, your elementary kids aren't playing state basketball. So, you know, where is that, is the impact good, or is it really impactful to the kids? And then we have to think of our teachers, just like we have to do with our parents. You know, parents still are working and things of that nature, but are we giving the teachers enough time to actually prep and be prepared for kids? It is a real thing. It's called survival mode. We all need to have our energy banks rejuvenated. We need to have that human nature to be ready for kids, because it is an exhausting field. And so, you know, finding that time to balance, not only to say, hey, it's just for kids, but finding a schedule that allows teachers to kind of re-energize, feel like they're ahead of the game, can be prepared for kids. There's no such thing as effective teaching by winging it, okay? There's no such thing as that. And so we do have to take in mind, and people will say, well, they get paid to do it. And it's an exhausting, everybody else has exhausting jobs too, but you have to find that ability to rejuvenate and be able to have somebody that's excited about their job in front of kids.
I think you're describing an effective balance of work, rest, and play.
Yes.
Okay.
It is. And we all want to, and I'll be real in this, I see so many people, and I'm just talking in education with a lot of my peers, that work super hard and look for that day of retirement, but they're so exhausted or so physically exhausted that their retirement is, they don't make it very long.
No.
You know, I've had colleagues that, and it's hard for me to say, but they worked super hard, and their jobs took a mental and physical toll on them, and Their retirement lasted 2 years and they were gone.
Well, I think you're describing their burnout, literal burnout. You completely deplete your resources so much that there's nothing left.
And I think we've come to this. Are we getting the bang for the buck? That's such a statement that I really have a lot of resentment for. Is the bang for the buck is absolutely we are, but at the cost of that burnout, that human piece, that relationship piece. There is a cost that everybody's talking about the dollar amount, but the physical and mental cost to providing a quality education is something we need to start looking at. And the expectations have been, in some cases, set so high it's unachievable. So we got to balance that a little bit.
So how are you going to progress with that? How are you going to take that question forward?
So I'm excited with, the state is looking at, maybe we don't need to have so many things on the table for where we need to be. And is it really about a state assessment at the end? Yes, we want to make sure our kids are performing well. But that calendar and balancing that professional development and is hopefully over time we'll find out where we whether we're right or whether we're wrong. But I'm going to use this as an example. Our teachers that are doing the letter training right now, it's 90 plus hours of work outside of their normal job, including doing their job.
You said 90.
90 plus. I mean, they're meeting every day for 2 years and doing paperwork. So there's a lot of, it's expected. You're going to put well over 90 hours into this to get each one of those trainings done. And that's on top of their job. This isn't done during the day.
So that training is for?
Reading, literacy, to be better with what we do. So those things are just not typical. That impacts your weekends. And so when somebody says, hey, I need to rejuvenate, I can honestly say, yeah, you do, and come back and follow those days. Well, I can't do it during the summer, so they maybe need to do something during the school year. There's some variables when it comes down to family. I mean, hey, I need to go take and see my family because there's this going on. I mean, family's one of the key things of kind of that re-energizing people, that family's important.
Mm-hmm. So we will come back, just to make a note, we will come back and talk about reading and literacy and how we can get great student results.
Super excited. So the 15th of March at Cloud Peak Elementary, I know there's Sold a Story. It's a podcast that went out through the community, not only through the community, through the state of Wyoming, about how schools are failing. And I'm going to invite everybody in Johnson County, especially parents of K-5 kids, to Cloud Peak Elementary on March 15th at 6 o'clock. And there'll be flyers that going out, and we're going to talk about the great things we're doing with literacy here in Buffalo.
And we'll be there to cover that, too, for parents who can't make it. But there is nothing like being there in person.
Absolutely.
Which leads me just finally, talking about being there in person, Kindergarten Roundup. It's funny to think that we're not even at the end of one school year, and we're right already engaging.
And I need to encourage parents that have children of that age to get to contact Meadowlark, and let's get you in that Kindergarten Roundup.
So why is that important? My kid's going to go to Meadowlark. My kid's going to go to kindergarten. I know that. Well,
great
not mine,
question,
but
it's
why does
like,
it matter?
It's kind of like the calendar. It's prepping to know what kids are coming in, how they're placed, where their level is, so we can start out with rolling and anticipating, evaluating. It's letting parents know what their expectations are, what a typical day will look like, but assessing kids to say, hey, where we're at. If it's junior K or normal, if they're on the normal track with kindergarten, but it is so important because it's that first step of building relationships, understanding the school, understanding expectations. It's helping parents, moms, realize that everything's going to be okay. It's mm-hmm. that first step of building relationships, but I will come back to it. If we're going to be pre-planners, just like we are with calendars, we got to get to know our clients coming in so that we can adjust and how we're going to set up our schedules. So it's all about scheduling and staffing. So we need to know the number of kinders coming in, what levels they're at, because we are also talking about staffing now. So if we're going to have 250 kinders, which, yay, Charles would celebrate, but I got a lot of kinder teachers to hire. So we have to determine.
Okay.
If we wait and all of a sudden everybody signed their kids up in August, my staffing is already set. So this is the window to hire quality teachers. So if we have a high level of kinders coming in, so it is all about similar to long-term planning, so we can have the right staff or the right number of staff in place when we start the year.
So if you're a parent of a child who'll be entering kindergarten, help your school district out by helping them be prepared to deliver the best possible experience for your kinder.
Because what I don't want to hear is, oh, we have 25 kindergartners per teacher. Well, the hiring window is coming up. Okay. And so we need to get people there. We need to know what, an approximate amount of what we're going to have for kinders and where their levels are, and start building those relationships with parents. And our parent liaison will start communicating and helping with that transition. So this is it's something that needs to happen now so we can be prepared for August.
Okay. Well, thank you. You heard it here.
Okay.
And Charles, thank you again. A wonderful, informative conversation. You clearly have so much going on, but really understand everything that's happening here. So thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.